We present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Bath Store website, read by Charlotte Green.
More goes into a Bath Store toilet than you may think.
Our thanks to Vince Rogers for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and writer and comedian Bob Mills. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. Susan, who got into a cat fight over human rights?
I always like starting the show with a story that made me angry. And this one was a particularly delightful one at the Festival of Fun, I like to call the Conservative Party Conference. And it was Theresa May, and she was giving examples of why the Human Rights Act should be abolished. And she gave an example of an illegal immigrant who, and she was not making this up, was allowed to stay in the country because he had a cat. Mm. It's absolutely untrue. The person was not allowed to stay in the country because he had a cat. It was because of an Article 8 family right that he'd claimed because he'd been in a relationship for 4 years. And Ken Clark waded in the way that Ken Clark always delightfully does. I love Ken Clark because he just says what he's thinking. And he said that the example was laughable and childlike, to which Theresa May responded by giving him a dead leg.
It's a bit worrying when our leaders start to run with things that have been broken by the Daily Star and then debunked, isn't it? And you sort of think, Haig wouldn't do that. She's a lightweight. She's the Home Secretary. She ought to know these things. Whether or not you agree with Haig, he is a substantial figure. He would not stand up at the Tory conference and say, I have it on good authority that in hot countries, heathen babies eat their parents when they're born.
I love the fact that they dragged Ken Clark out to apologise. He had to come out and apologise. And he said, I regret the words that I used. So you regret what you said. I regret the words that I used.
I liked it when he was Health Secretary. He was fantastic as the Health Secretary because he'd stand there with his shirt bursting at the seams, smoking a cigar, saying, well, I think the whole nation must pull itself together and get fit. Do you think we should start spreading the rumour that her kitten heels are made of real kittens?
But it's true, that's punchline when she delivered it. It was kind of Oscar Wilde, a handbag. She said, and he had a cat! As if everyone was meant to go, oh my God, it was a cat, it wasn't even a puppy. Because cats are always blamed, they're always seen as evil, and cats are lovely, gorgeous, delicious little things. You have to treat them like adults and talk to them properly.
What do you mean delicious, nice. Susan? I didn't quite understand how that got in that list. No.
So the cat wasn't the issue, although the Daily Mail has started a campaign to remove all immigrant cats from the country immediately. I've got a Burmese cat. He's safe. I've persuaded the authorities. He has a stable family life. So, well done, Muppet. But I had to dress him up quite a lot, because you know I dress up my cats. So, the thing about...
So often things that you say worry me.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. The other day I got caught, this is slightly off topic, the Tesco man came with my shopping and they always try and get in your house, right? And I don't want him in my house because I've dressed the cats up. Now, the point is, they give you a 2-hour window, so you don't know when they're coming. So you're not going to delay that kind of thing just for the Tesco man. You start anyway. So he came with my shopping and I was in my dressing gown. I opened the door a crack and I said, just leave it there. And he was quite insistent. He was looking around the door and he pushed the door and I fell over and the door opened and all he saw was four cats dressed as policemen. Now, it was prime suspect day. I was Jane Tennyson, obviously. So anyway...
Can I just give you some advice?
Yes.
Waitrose also deliver.
Can I just say that the one thing that I've found quite disturbing about this is that you answer the door to the Tesco man in your dressing gown. You had dressed the cats, but not yourself.
He enjoys life, Ken Clark, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He likes his beer, he likes his jazz... He likes knifing his colleagues. I don't know if you saw, there's a very good ITV dramatisation of Thatcher's last days, and it was taken from people's memoirs, and so it was all sort of authentic dialogue. And there was a scene where the cabinet ministers were in a huddle. They were saying, well, one of us will have to explain to Margaret that she can't go on. And immediately Clark said, I'll do it. And they said to him, all right, Ken, you can do it, but you won't be too brutal, will you? He said, no, no, of course I won't be brutal. And they hard cut to him saying to Thatcher, basically, Maggie, you're finished.
Theresa May was criticised by Ken Clark for attacking the Human Rights Act by claiming that a Bolivian student escaped deportation because he had a pet cat, when in fact he was allowed to stay in the country because he was in a long-term relationship. The Justice Secretary, Ken Clark, openly scoffed at May's claims, calling them laughable and childlike. Mr Clark was immediately deported. 2 points to Ms. Kalman. Bob, have a listen to this.
You say it best when you say nothing at all.
Bob, who said it best by saying nothing at all?
Was that Ronan Keating?
Yes, according to my notes.
That's a lovely song. You say it best when you say nothing at all. That song is saying, shut up. Is this David? Are you
David.
Oh, I see. You brought me on here to pick on my leader. All right. Now, David made his speech. It's not what he says, though. This is what people don't understand. No one cares what politicians say. It's how they say it. Politicians used to stand there rather awkwardly and wooden with notes and things like that. And then they invented the autocue. So it was like, I don't even need notes. I just need to stare doggedly into the camera. But David doesn't even need that. David just wanders about. You look at David and you think, that's who we want running the country. A man who can walk about and chat and throw things at. Michael McIntyre, that's who we want running the country.
But Dalek, I mean, he has the style of Henry V with the content of a Henry vacuum cleaner. It's a sort of... when you listen to it, he doesn't say, we must, there's a problem and we must do something.
Yes, but that's...
And it's a secret, otherwise I'd tell you what it is that we're going to do.
That's the art of politics. Try talking for 40 minutes and saying nothing. It's a harder skill than it first seems to be. Sometimes you make statements just by accident, but he's guarded himself so clearly. You bring it all together, there's nothing there.
He asked Britain to avoid can't-do sogginess. What is that?
Well, no, you obviously don't go to the same parts of Britain as I do, because sometimes I walk through Britain and I think, this is so soggy.
He was targeting women, though, wasn't it? It was interesting. Do you see that the spin doctors organised it so that he walked to conference every morning? He arrived with a different woman. And you could see
with
Boris...
a different woman?
Yeah, Boris was thinking, he's stealing my act. What is it? And one of the lady MPs looked like a 13-year-old on a date with sort of someone out of Take That. She was just gazing at him like a doe-eyed robot.
The bit I liked was the sign... Did you watch the sign language guy? I always enjoy that, because Cameron used the word leadership 19 times and right 29 times, and he seemed to keep doing the Hitler salute, the guy.
Yeah, he did.
We had a signer on this once, do you remember?
Yeah.
We had a signer on a radio show. And I remember doing an answer that ended with the words, President Clinton. And I looked across to watch him, and the signage for President Clinton was a zip being done up.
David Cameron spoke for an hour at the Conservative Party conference without announcing any new policies or mentioning that day's disappointing economic figures. Cameron began with, first, I want to say something to you in this hall, which let us all know that he understands the basic concept of a speech. 2 points to Bob. Jeremy, who can't afford to bring home the bacon?
It's your lot, the Vikings. They brought in a tax on butter because they think that butter's unhealthy, which is actually not true, because the best thing to fry in is animal fat because it doesn't turn into trans fats. Trans fats are very dangerous because they change your gender if you eat too many. But, yeah, it's a myth that you should fry in vegetable oil and that you should use marge, you know, fake, not real type butter, substitute things like bugger me, it's spread, and things like that.
That's a diagnosis rather than anything else.
What we said when the children had chicken pox.
It's not just Denmark, is it? France are bringing in a fat tax as well. And I think it'd be brilliant. So you get this prospect of fat tax exiles who sort of fly off to the Seychelles for a bacon sandwich.
Maybe it could be like the smoking ban. People who want to eat something fatty now have to go outside on the patio and hunch. in the doorway.
I like butter. Butter is one of my favourite things. I have butter on absolutely everything.
I love it. I'm sitting on two cases of it as we speak.
You can make use of the obese people. I don't know any myself, but you can... It's the good thing about the wireless, they can't see you. But you can use them. All this money they give out for cold weather payments for the old people, just send a couple of fat lads around to sit with them. Yeah. One either side of the sofa. It's body warmth.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
The body warmth is the warmth of all the warmth.
Shouldn't they also give money back if you eat well? I mean, I do think every time I have a Ryvita...
A fat tax rebate.
Yeah, so... Do you not think, though, when you eat Ryvita that you deserve some kind of compensation?
So let's follow it through. So, Bob, for example, you're coming round to keep me warm. And so I open the door, you're there, you go, I'm your heating for the evening.
After I've screamed at the cat stressed pirates. Me and an equally fat friend sit either side of you.
Who gets the remote?
And do you look straight ahead, or did you both look at me as well? Because, and would you make me a cup of tea? Is that, or do I have to make you a cup of tea?
Well, you won't be able to get up, will you? Because you're squeezed between two very large people.
I just don't think it's going to work. Not that I don't want you to come round, Bob. I think we'd have a nice time together.
You know what would happen? You know what would happen is you'd have your two fat people who've come round, and then there'd be a ring at the door, and there'd be two other fat people offering you a discount if you go to. That's what would happen.
You see,
and we do broadband. Denmark has introduced a fat tax on foods which contain more than 2.3% saturated fats. The tax targets high-fat products such as butter, milk and deep-fried Lego. The tax is expected to raise over 2 million kroner for the Danish government, which they're going to spend on one enormous pastry. 2 points to Jeremy. Andy, why is Auntie swapping her bloomers for belt and braces?
This is about cuts at the BBC. Mm. They're having to cut 20%. Yeah, they're draconian cuts. In fact, I work on the BBC One show Outnumbered, and we've had a memo saying that we've got to shoot one of the kids. I think they're knocking down Television Centre.
It's going to be a football stadium.
Yes.
So how are they going to play in those round corridors? I don't know.
They can't knock it down. I mean, you wouldn't be allowed to knock down Covent Garden Opera House, would you? I mean, that's a part of the cultural heritage of the country. I spent much of my 20s and 30s in that building. It was...
What, Covent Garden Opera House?
No. I had some great rooms. I was looking out the window one day and there were some men running around in balaclavas down by the security gate. My mate said, oh, look, Dave Allen must be filming. It was a wages raid.
Apparently the children's channels are protected from the cuts. I don't know why. Lots of children in the past were happy with a couple of flower pots who couldn't speak properly. I don't know why.
One of the things they're doing is they're talking about stopping broadcasting at a certain time, and that fills me with fear because growing up, I don't know if anyone else remembers here, remember when the television stopped? And you just had the test card of that freakish child with the clown balloon or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they stop, I know I've got satellite television, but that's full of programmes like Oops, I Married a Chicken and things like that.
Don't knock Sky Television, because I'll tell you what, 2 o'clock in the morning, if there's anything you want to know about sharks or Hitler... That's the place,
but it's true, and also there's lots of customs programmes on. I can now perform a frisk search on anyone in this audience because I've watched Nothing to Declare so many times now that I can do it. Because you have to skim the body, not touch the body. That's the key. I practice it sometimes at the bus stop. And you just have to skim the body, not touch the body. And you could do that when you come around and heat me up.
I grew up in the early years in Denmark. My father was a newsreader for Danish television, and then we only had one channel, and the channel would come on at 7 with my dad, and then he'd read the news for half an hour. I think I thought that's what everybody's dad did. And then we'd have a half-hour documentary about, you know, the Queen's silver spoon collection. And then it would close down, because it was all a bit of very... It would have been terribly exciting. My dad was half the output of Danish television. I think Radio 4 pretty unaffected, though, apart from the pips, which are now going to be pre-recorded as opposed to the live orchestra we currently have.
I don't think they're completely sad for Radio 4. I know there's going to be a new series of The History of the World in 12 Objects.
Could they not get rid of the weather, OK? I know this is a radical thought, but honestly, you can just look out the window. And is it just me? Do you glaze over? Honestly, I really try and concentrate. And the weather comes on and I think, right, I'm going to pay attention. And then the whole camera moves all the way. And I think, oh, this is a funny bit of Ireland from that view. And then I realise it's finished and I forgot to listen to what the...
Tell you what is going to be irritating about this story, though, is that those of us who work a lot for the BBC get this everywhere we go, where somebody starts, you says, bloody BBC, this programme on the other night, I pay for that, I pay for BBC programmes, it's a tax. And nobody ever points out, you pay for ITV as well. You pay a purchase tax. But you try going into Tesco and saying, actually, could you knock 4p off those cornflakes because I don't watch ITV.
I do. This is absolutely serious. I do get very irritated. For £145 a year, people get BBC One, Two, Three, Four, Radios One, Two, Three, Four, Five, Six, F4 Extra, all the local radio, £145 a year. And then people pay 60 quid a month for Sky Television and they don't see how much good stuff they're getting for the money. I'm sorry, it makes me enraged.
But the BBC, sorry, doesn't help itself. When it issues a statement which says the BBC is axing 2,000 jobs to save £670 million, and you think, how much are these people earning?
The BBC today unveiled its cost-cutting proposals for the next 6 years. Daytime programming on BBC Two will be completely cut, although anyone having withdrawal symptoms can just go to an antiques auction or follow around an estate agent. At the end of round one, the scores are Susan and Bob have got 4 points, but so too have Jeremy and Andy. We start round two with some advice from the Live Strong website.
If coffee consistently causes loose stools, stop eating them until you can be seen by a physician.
Can I just say that this week Charlotte chose her own cuttings? Can I just say? And our thanks to Jake Stevens for sending us that. Susan, where is the first cut, the deepest and no longer free?
Is it Yorkshire?
Yorkshire.
Yeah. GP's surgery has sent letters out to some of the patients saying that the NHS was no longer funding certain small operations, so they would have to go private with these operations, potentially to a company owned by the GP surgery, which is one of the problems, is they're referring people to their own company. And it's for small things like ingrown toenails or wart or mole removal, that kind of thing. And it throws up a number of issues. Number one, if you're being asked £250 for that kind of operation, I would genuinely try and do it myself. And I think, do you know what I mean? I think the thing is that people will go, I'll just whop off that mole myself. Now, for example, I once had a mark here on my upper lip and I didn't know if it was a mole or a bit of biro. You know that way? And I phoned up my dad and I said, do you think it's a mole or a biro? And he said, pick it with a compass and see if it comes back.
Is your father a doctor or a geography teacher?
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor.
Yeah, but... in Scotland,
he used to be chief medical officer. So I went, all right, then. And so I picked it. It came back. It was a mole.
So they need to be clear about what. If you say, I want to come in for mole removal, you could just have been up to something very odd in the bedroom.
Is your bedroom underground?
This surgery in Yorkshire doing the wart removal, do they do 3 for 2?
Well, this is the worry, isn't it? And all this blurring of the NHS and the private thing. So, you know, you go in now into surgeries and there's always like a little computer to check in straight away. It could come up and say, I see you recently had a flu jab. Other people who had a flu jab also bought Cliff Richard's box set. Yeah.
Do you know what works for almost anything? And this is a genuine tip. Take it if you want. A bread and milk poultice. Have you ever used a bread and milk poultice?
Obviously not.
Right. It works for almost any form of infection or anything like that. You just get a bit of stale bread, put it in some milk and you wrap it round, and it works brilliantly. You don't need antibiotics, you don't need anything else. It is inconvenient if you have some form of sore on your face and you've got a bit of bread. You tend to get attacked by seagulls and other birds of prey.
A GP practice in York is offering to perform private treatments on those patients who have been denied procedures thanks to NHS cuts. The GPs in question have defended themselves by saying they do the operations at cost price, or as their ad put it, come to our everything must go hysterectomy clear out.
Should have gone to Womb Savers.
GPs have been accused of privatisation via the back door, which sounds like a pretty invasive procedure. 2 points to Ms. Kalman. Bob, where might you be able to tie the knot a little more loosely?
Oh, I love this. This is the Mexicans. They've got it all sorted out. You have to understand, Mexico City is very different from Mexico. Mexico is a very staunch Catholic country and is run very old school. Mexico City is like Brighton. They're very liberal in their ways.
Lots of people with top hats. Do you not think it must be the laziest named capital city of any country?
Yeah, it is,
country?
Isn't it?
It would be like Washington, D.C. being United States of America town.
Yeah. So Mexico City introduced a new wedding ceremony so that you don't get married till death us do part. You get married for a set amount of time. You're given a rolling marriage license.
It's 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
You get
barely
2 years.
Enough time for a good resentment to bed in.
Absolutely. It's not so much a marriage license, it's a marriage season ticket.
Yeah. That's it.
We could go, Susan and I could go, and we say, we want to give it a go.
Susan's just looking very, very troubled now. It's only so you can stay in the country, Susan.
It's going to get to that stage where I have to marry you, Jeremy, in order to stay in England.
Well, you want independence, love. That's what's going to happen.
Say to somebody, I want to spend possibly 2 years with you.
Yeah. It's a fantastic idea.
Well, in a way, it's the kind of final hurdle towards real equality, isn't it? Because Mexico City opened the institution of marriage up to gay people, and now they're opening it up to people who don't really want to get married.
it's equal rights for the feckless.
Yeah. I quite like this 2 year thing because it's about the length of a contract you would rent a television for, you know. Yeah. And when you rent a television and it goes wrong, someone takes it away and gets you a better one. And I think that should happen as well. This one's not working out. Keeps talking during casualty. Take it away. Take it away.
It's a wife warranty.
That would be amazing.
I would say to the people of Mexico City who think this is a wonderful, enlightened thing that they're just signing on for 2 years, make sure that AOL aren't involved in it at all. Because you're going to be there for life, all right?
And Mexico City legislators are proposing introducing marriage contracts which last for 2 years and can be renewed if the spouses are still happy after that. Many conservative Mexicans are up in arms at the idea, saying it tramples all over the fine and noble institution of divorce. 2 points to Bob. Andy, have a listen to this. Andy, why is it now a case of monkey think, monkey do?
This is a science story.
Yeah?
They've been able to get monkeys to play a computer game where they manipulated a virtual arm using just thought. And the good news is that this could lead to technology whereby paralysed people could be given a robotic exoskeleton so that they could move around and experience the world again, which would be fantastic. My only worry is I think they've got to be very careful. The doctors have got grave responsibility to get the form right, because there needs to be a question on the form that says, are you an arch fiend who wants the robotic exoskeleton so you can subjugate mankind? A little bit worried about the monkeys as well. It could be Planet of the Robo-Apes. Very tricky.
I never understand the science stories. There was a scanner and it showed the monkeys' brain waves, and they're shaped like tall sine waves, and it just looks like they're just thinking about bananas the whole time.
If you've lost your arm, like in a threshing accident, it would be a wonderful thing to think, I can now have a robotic arm. But it's slightly adding insult to injury. You've got to have a monkey as well.
No, the monkey
comes with it.
No, the monkey's an optional extra, I think.
Because you don't want to have a new arm and then be walking past cars and the arm suddenly shoots out and pulls the windscreen wiper. And you're having to say, no, that's not me, that's the monkey.
Imagine the next PG Tips ad, though, be like The Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
lockdown's remarkable because not only have they been able to make the arm move, but they're making the brain believe it's touching something, which is remarkable because you could add that. So I'm touching Bob.
Go on.
And I could make that double the pleasure by replacing you with Cheryl Cole.
Two monkeys have learnt to move the virtual arm of a computer game character using the power of thought alone. The monkeys are rhesus monkeys, which are like normal monkeys with a delicious peanutty taste. The lab monkeys learned to control the computer with their mind, as their actual arms were too busy smoking and testing makeup. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Ms. Kelman.
This has been sent in by Gudrun O'Root, and it's from the October issue of the Marshland Messenger, a monthly publication around East Riding. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double door at the side entrance.
Mr. Mills.
This is from Mohammed Abdullah, and it was a sound advert on Classic FM, but it's the picture of it as well. 1 in 9 of us experience bladder weakness. Click here for a free sample.
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by John Banks, who claims he saw it in his local shop window. Outdoor rabbit hutch for sale. 3 years old, good as new. Suit rabbit.
Mr. Hamilton.
And this is another bit of real life sent in from Sue Denton. And she says, I was driving behind a prison van and someone had written in the dust on the back door, no prisoners are kept in this van overnight.
Let's take a look at the final score. Susan and Bob have got 8, but so too do Jeremy and Andy. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Daily Telegraph sent to us by Margaret Dyer.
In Liverpool this morning, 600 attendees will gather for the first Labour Women's Conference in many years. Ed Miliband will be the only man allowed to watch the sisterhood in action. As his deputy says, it's quite an awe-inspiring sight, and it's good for him to expose himself to that.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Bob Mills, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Rodri Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by Benjamin Partridge and Angela Barnes. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.